Presented by DogNation.com, this is Dog Nation Daily, the daily podcast for Georgia Bulldogs fans. Here's your host, Brandon Adams.
So I think a lot of stuff is starting to make a lot more sense. The Georgia search for, at this point in time, it's a defensive backs coach, seemingly. It looks like the defensive coordinator more likely is going to come from within, at least a co-defensive coordinator. The new person to be hired at Georgia would appear to be a defensive backs coach, and it is taking a long time. All of a sudden now, it starts to make a little more sense. Those rumors that were out there that have been kicked around on message boards like ours at forum.dognation.com of maybe Georgia could get involved with a guy like Tosh Lapoy. Well, that's not going to happen. But the reason why those rumors were bubbling up is because, indeed, Lapoy was on the outs, I guess, at Alabama. Their first-year defensive coordinator, one of the most respected recruiters in the entire industry, in the entire, really, the world. A guy that's had impacts on Alabama on both sides of the ball. He's been instrumental in offensive guys as well. He is not going to be Alabama defensive coordinator next year. He's moving on with brand new Cleveland Browns coach Freddie Kitchens. He'll be the defensive line coach there in Cleveland. This is being spun in Tuscaloosa, and this is not just rumor and innuendo. This is not just rumor and innuendo. This is, you know, official reports from respected news services that the general consensus is Lupoi, the first year Alabama DC, was just not ready for the job. That he was sort of overwhelmed by some of the tasks involved there, including the actual, you know, week-to-week game planning and the actual, moment-to-moment, play calling that a defensive coordinator has to do. It sounds like that was a bit overwhelming for Lupoi. Now, there's some interesting reverberations here for Georgia, but if you'll give me a second to kind of diverge here before we kind of get into all of this. The whole idea that Lupoi wasn't going to be ready for defensive coordinator, this is just too interesting not to bring up. If you want to go back to the summer, there was a guy, and we highlighted this on Dog Nation Daily at the time, there was a guy, Dave Bartu, College Football Matrix, he's written about this kind of stuff. He actually called this. So at the very least, you feel like you got to give credit where credit's due, that Lupoi not being ready to go as a defensive coordinator, being below the standard what Alabama should have, Dave Bartu actually called this. So let me at least give a little credit here. I kind of thought this was interesting. Here is a guy essentially predicting what turned out to be true. Nick Saban was not going to be happy with Tosh Lapoy. Here's Dave Bartu.
Realistically, this is his worst career defensive offensive coordinator pairing that he has. Loxley, his career, he's got a D-minus career as an offensive coordinator. I think it's going to be Dan Enos calling the plays in the background. I don't think Loxley's going to get touch anything. That's why Nick brought Enos in. The Lapoy is the defensive coordinator. Nick's had two super elite. That was Smart and Pruitt. I mean, these guys, their defensive numbers are otherworldly, and you're replacing them with Lapoy, who, it's kind of questionable if he's ever called defensive plays at all.
So I think it's pretty interesting that this guy, Dave Bartu, College Football Matrix, goes on a radio program and essentially predicts what turned out to be true, that Tosh Lapoy was going to be beneath the standard of Alabama defensive coordinator. And the reason why that's interesting is because Nick Saban, in the aftermath of this, is now looking to go apparently a completely different direction. There's a chance that Pete Golding, the linebackers coach, gets promoted to defensive coordinator. He was already a guy that was, I guess, taking more responsibilities on as the season progressed here. That's a former defensive coordinator at Texas San Antonio. But there was also the weird internet rumor the other day. Jason McIntyre, the publisher, longtime owner of The Big Lead, a pretty popular sports blog, tweets out that Washington defensive coordinator Jimmy Lake was in Alabama over the weekend interviewing for its job. And that's ironically as Tosh Lapoy is still on the job as defensive coordinator. But Jason McIntyre apparently had spotted Jimmy Lake, a respected Washington Huskies defensive coordinator in Tuscaloosa, and McIntyre suggests he's interviewing for that job. Now, some of those reports have been, I guess, somewhat refuted, but the idea would seem to be here, after going way in the direction of recruiting with his last defensive coordinator, Saban may be going strongly in the other direction right now with a guy that's more of an on-field coach, more of the game planning guy, play calling guy on the sideline. What this leads me to believe, and here's where I think if you're an Alabama fan, you got to be a little nervous about this. Tosh Lapoy is the defensive coordinator you want if you're building for the long haul. That's the guy you want in place if you're trying to establish something that would last for years and years. That's one of the reasons why it seems very likely that Kirby Smart's been at least in some contact with LaPoy over the last couple of weeks, because if that guy was potentially on the open market, Smart would know before anybody else would. Even though that's not an easy fit for Georgia, after all, Georgia needs a defensive backs coach. That's not what LaPoy has been. But nonetheless, he's such a good recruiter. If you're trying to build something that's going to last for the next decade and a half, LaPoy is the guy you want on your program. So if Nick Saban doesn't want Tosh LaPoy on his program anymore, what does that say about Saban's long-term future in Tuscaloosa? That, for me, is the story buried beneath the story here. I think the change at Alabama, going away from LaPoy, and really with a lot of the coaches over the last couple of years, if you want to think, you know, think about Craig Kuligowski, the defensive line coach hired from a year ago that I'm expecting to return for Alabama maybe in 2019. If you look at a lot of these hires, what you're seeing a lot of is Nick Saban veering in the direction of, maybe let me go away from the recruiting expert for a moment and go more towards the on-field coaching expert. I think that suggests that Nick Saban's time in Alabama may be coming to an end. These are short-term hires made to maximize short-term success. I think by going away from Tosh LaPoy, the writing is on the wall for me that Nick Saban is done sooner rather than later at Alabama. Watch that and see if I'm not right. However, though, what's more important here is the Georgia side of this. And all of a sudden, Georgia's search for a defensive coordinator, to announce a defensive backs coach, all of that does start to make a little more sense, because obviously, if Kirby Smart knew that Tosh LaPoy was going to be out there, he'd do everything he could to try to get him, because LaPoy's just too good of a recruiter to say no to. Now, it's not going to work. Georgia's not going to get LaPoy. And we still don't know who Georgia is going to get. LaPoy's going to the Cleveland Browns. He's going to be their defensive line coach. We still don't know who Georgia is going to get, who it's going to hire as a defensive backs coach, who it's going to announce as a defensive coordinator. Is it a co-coordinator role, anything like that? We don't know that yet. But we can start to make a little more sense and have a little more understanding of why it's taking so long. Because Kirby Smart has been able to be a part of some very interesting conversations. And maybe it doesn't work out with Georgia and LaPoy this year, but who's to say what the near future looks like for a guy who's going to be coaching back at college football again sometime, and the recruiting expertise that LaPoy brings to the table is the kind of thing you want in your program, even if you have to wait a couple of years to get it. But with all of that said, most important takeaway might be, and I got a lot of feedback yesterday from some of the stuff that Mike Griffith had to say on our program. Now, Mike, to his credit, is a very provocative writer and speaker. You know, he has a way of just generating the kinds of opinions that get people listening. And yesterday, a lot of people I gathered based on my Twitter responses in the comment section were really leaning in heavily on Mike's, you almost want to call it like an admonition to Georgia fans to stop freaking out over all this kind of stuff. That popular gift that gets thrown around of Kirby Smart, reminding folks to calm down. It's almost like Mike was the sort of audio embodiment of that yesterday when he said, listen, Kirby Smart's got this thing under control. Whether it's trying to get Tosh LaPoy and not getting it, or maybe reaching out to somebody else, Kirby's doing what he needs to do right now. And maybe with all of this kind of playing out, now Alabama kind of joining Georgia in the search for defensive coordinator, maybe Mike's words from yesterday are also important to hear one more time. In fact, let's do that.
It's so important that whoever he hires has to be the right hire. It's better to take your time and get the guy that fits the vision than hurry up. Just to relieve the fears of two or three, I don't know, recruits maybe? This is a big picture hire. We're talking about a hire that could stay in place at Georgia 3, 5, 7 years. Another piece of the puzzle, and as you and I recognize from the past two seasons, there's not much margin for error when you're competing to win national titles. And that's where Georgia's at right now. They're not just there to win the East. That's an assumption. Georgia's here to win a national title. And that's why Kirby needs to be thorough and make sure he makes the right hire.
So Kirby's going to be thorough. He's going to make sure he makes the right hire. But admittedly, on this show, built for fans, we'll admit as fans that patience can be a little hard to come by, especially with Alabama now searching for a defensive coordinator, too. But the big takeaway here is that some of the rumors that were out there can now be confirmed. Yes, indeed, LaPoy was the kind of guy that Georgia could have considered, did not get him. But I guess Mike Griffith's words will provide some comfort. And when it's all said and done, Georgia's going to get its guy, and that guy is still likely to be the right guy. My name is Brandon Adams, and this is Dog Nation Daily, the daily podcast for Georgia Bulldogs fans. Hello to you, and thanks for being with us live on video today, 10 a.m., Dog Nation Facebook, YouTube, or Twitter. We're on the radio at noon as well on Athens Sports Radio 960 The Ref, and we're available as a podcast pretty much wherever you can find podcasts. We're glad you have found us today, including posting the show every day to the world-famous DogNation.com. And as I said, glad to have you with us. A little later on, we're going to dive in a little deeper on a recruit that I think is really important for Georgia as the 2019 cycle comes running in February. We'll get some more information on that, including sharing some of the stuff that Jeff Sintel had to say about this. But before that, though, let me remind you that we are coming up on a really big event. And I want to make sure you mark this one on your calendar, especially for those of you that live in Cobb County. You know, we've been so fortunate to be able to travel around and have so many wonderful experiences at Marlowe's Taverns in the Atlanta area. But there is one neighborhood that we have not gotten a chance to hit yet. There are a few neighborhoods, but one in particular that we've been asked to come to, and we're going to make that happen coming up in just a little bit less than 2 weeks. We're going to be at the Marlowe's in Kennesaw for our countdown to signing day event from 6 to 8 p.m. on January 29th. What a fun time this is going to be. Marlowe's in Kennesaw right there, 745 Chastain Road in Kennesaw, 6 to 8 p.m. on a Tuesday, January 29th. So if you want to get the inside scoop of what's going to happen with Georgia and the closeout to its recruiting cycle, hopefully by then Georgia will have some defensive coaches in place. What a great time that's going to be coming up the Marlowe's in Kennesaw. We hope you can join us for that. Before anything else, though, let me also take a moment here to go around the doghouse, brought to you today by Online Trading Academy. And yes, indeed, we are getting serious about recruiting, and I wanted to make sure we talked a little bit about that on today's program today and kind of my thoughts on this. And our buddy Michael Carvell, one of our producers, he was joking with me before the show based on what happened yesterday on Before the Hedges presented by Kroger and kind of everything else. He said, B, it almost seems like you're trying to will this George Pickens thing into existence. Pickens, a five-star wide receiver, a guy that's committed to Auburn but didn't sign in December and, thought could be taking a visit to Georgia here sometime soon, maybe even this weekend. And, yes, indeed, I guess there is an avenue in which I am trying to will this into existence. I think Georgia needs Pickens. I think that Pickens, if you were to choose Georgia, could be a game changer for the program. I think he could be the difference in the Dogs winning a national championship. I think he's that good of a prospect at a position that Georgia really needs a big-time player. But no matter how hard I try to make this thing happen, no matter how hard I try to push this, Michael said, into existence, Jeff Sintel, who knows this stuff, you know, forwards and backwards, just remains pretty skeptical that this is indeed something that George is going to be able to make happen. Here is what Jeff said about George Pickens, the five-star receiver, on Before the Hedges presented by Kroger yesterday. Here's Jeff.
There's just the point where George Pickens to me has always seemed like bronze medal, right at the bronze medal stage with Georgia. And I don't know if we've seen enough yet for Pickens to move past that. He's still publicly committed to Auburn. He still has a really strong connection to LSU. And then there's also the fact that no matter what he sees at Georgia with the guys moving on at the receiver spot, you got to wait with this George Pickens journey. I don't know if he's going to be in Athens yet. I'm going to call that a wait and see look right there.
So here's what I say about Jeff all the time, and I mean this. You know, when there is good news to be delivered, Jeff's the first one out there to deliver it to us, and we're always glad to hear it. When there's less than great news, Jeff's also good enough to be honest with us. In this case, he's, you know, kind of calling the balls and strikes and assessing the situation with Pickens the best that he can, and he doesn't see Georgia as one of those leaders right there right now, at least in comparison to LSU and Auburn. He sees them kind of trailing behind there. But that doesn't mean there isn't at least some hope for optimism. Doesn't mean there isn't at least some wrinkle that George could take advantage of. And from Jeff's perspective, given the ties there to Hoover High School, there's a potential connection between Pickens and a 2020 quarterback that George is very interested in, Robbie Ashford, also from Hoover. And Jeff says, if you want to get George Pickens, maybe you need to pay attention to this signal caller as well. Here's more from Jeff with maybe a hopeful tone on Pickens.
Now, if you want to dip your toe into the George Pickens waters and you want to buy something that would be interesting for George Pickens, I want you to think about this and maybe chew on this one for a little bit. George Pickens, should he come to Athens? Should he have a great visit? Should Georgia start feeling a certain type of way? Maybe the quarterback connection to watch for there would be Robbie Ashford.
Yeah, good point.
His quarterback at Hoover High. He's a top three, top four quarterback in the 2020 class. He's going to make his decision in March. And that thing right there is going to come down to Georgia and Auburn. So for Georgia and George Pickens, I don't think it just means getting a top five receiver, a five-star receiver. If you want to really invest in George Pickens and the hopes for George Pickens, maybe think about the chance of getting not the elite receiver only, but the elite quarterback and the elite receiver out of Hoover High School as well.
We're going to talk to our buddy Benjamin Wolk, who knows the scene with Pickens pretty well, here in just a moment. We'll let him kind of fill in some of these details for us as well. But it's important to note, when it comes to Jeff Sintel and his thoughts about the close out of the 2019 class, as obsessed as I am with Pickens, Jeff would say that's not the player that Georgia needs more than anybody else. The player that Georgia needs more than anybody else is the guy expected to be on campus this weekend. That's the four-star defensive back, Kyer Elam. If Jeff were here right now, he would say, focus your attention some on that, because you know how important defensive backs can be in the SEC. Here is more from Jeff on that subject, by the way.
I would say, to me, in terms of Georgia needs, I still think to go head-to-head with Bama and neutralize Alabama's greatest strength on that certain Saturday, on the first Saturday in December, I still think the number one guy there is Kyer Elam.
So Jeff says the number one guy is Kyer Elam. Georgia fans certainly have high hopes for him, too. And obviously, they'd like to see how George Pickens factors into that as well. Those are two big names to watch as we head towards February. We'll have more on this coming up in a moment. Before that, though, let me remind you that Around the Doghouse here today is brought to you by Online Trading Academy, a terrific outfit that provides professional instruction on how to make money in the markets, no matter which direction the market may be moving. Online Trading Academy students learn a step-by-step approach to trading and investing. The classes cover a spectrum of trading styles and asset classes, and the students get a chance to learn online or there in the classroom. So invest in yourself today. It's one of the best decisions you could ever make. Simply go to tradingacademy.com/Atlanta. The website, once again, tradingacademy.com/Atlanta. All right, I want to keep the recruiting talk going here on a Dog Nation Daily. As I said, a guy that knows the George Pickens situation really well. He knows Auburn recruiting really well. He's covered Auburn recruiting for Rivals.com, and he's a good friend of ours here on Dog Nation Daily. Let's talk to our buddy Benjamin Wolk right now. And we will say hello to a guy that's been a regular here on Dog Nation Daily, and good to have him back. It is our buddy Benjamin Wolk here on Dog Nation Daily today, Rivals.com, covering Auburn recruiting. Ben, thanks for your time. Thank you for being with us. How you doing today?
I'm great. How are you today, Brandon?
I'm doing really well. And, you know, I was talking before you joined us about the situation with George Pickens. And, you know, it's been kind of joked here in our studio that I'm trying to sort of will this into existence. I am a Georgia fan. I'd love to see Georgia get Pickens. But every time I try to bring it up, you know, Jeff Sintel, you know, just kind of throws a little bit of skepticism into that. Almost a, I don't want to say wet blanket, because he's, you know, coming from a factual place. But, you know, Jeff just doesn't see it happening between Georgia and Pickens right now. So I guess I'm going to keep asking this question until I get the answer I want to hear. You know the Auburn side of this really well. You know the Pickens story on this really well. I mean, what do you view Georgia's realistic chances of flipping Pickens away from Auburn? And I guess in the midst of this, also holding off LSU as well.
Yeah, I mean, I've been very adamant to the Auburn people that I'm writing to, obviously, that I don't think that they have too much to worry about with George Pickens right now. Now, I will say that I always sort of have a little amendment to that, and that is that Auburn signed 16 of their 17 guys during the early signing period, and Auburn has done pretty good the last 2 years now of signing guys during the early signing period. George Pickens, obviously, did not sign during that early signing period. And I think that that's not always cause for concern. I think that in George's case, there are some other reasons behind the scenes that led him to not sign during the early signing period. But I also think that if you're one of these other teams, that I really look at, I would say four programs that have a shot right now. And I would say LSU, like you mentioned, Georgia, obviously, with him going this weekend, Tennessee, another place that he is trying to set up an official visit in January to go check out. And then Ohio State is sort of an outlier that he hasn't had a ton of communication with, but would like to go take an official visit. And if he takes an official visit there, obviously I would consider the Buckeyes to be a contender for that as well. And those are the four programs that I really look at. And, you know, I know a lot of people have talked about LSU, and when I've talked to George in the past, he sort of said that LSU had eased its way up into that number two spot. But the way I see it, with him taking this first official visit, in January, since the early signing period, him taking it to Georgia, I think that that means something. I don't think that that necessarily means that I think Auburn should be worried or freaking out about this Georgia official visit, but at the same time, he's going to Georgia, and he has been to Athens in the past. There was a time in the fall when he was visiting Athens as much as he was visiting Auburn, maybe more than he was visiting Auburn. And so I think that it certainly means something. Now, I think that what comes out of the official visit, what conversations he has while he's on it, are really going to dictate how this thing is going, because Auburn has done a pretty good job of late. There were certainly times in the fall when Auburn started struggling during the season and he wasn't visiting Auburn very much, that he certainly was starting to drift away from that Auburn commitment. But he took an official visit to Auburn the weekend right before the early signing period. And while he didn't sign, he thought about it. And that was something that George had never really thought about doing in the past. And I think the fact that he even thought about it probably gave Auburn some confidence there, you know, leaving the early signing period and in January as well, despite the fact that he's going to take some visits elsewhere. So I think that, you know, the fact that he even thought about signing with Auburn during the early signing period, I think made Auburn feel a little bit good. But at the same time, they're going to be watching a visit like this one to Georgia very closely, because they know that George sort of, you know, he marches to the beat of his own drum and he kind of does his own thing. And even though he is, you know, someone that has been committed to Auburn as long as anyone, they're not going to feel 100% great about it until his name's on that dotted line in February. And so, you know, I don't want to get Georgia fans' hopes up and make them think that Georgia is someone that they are absolutely 100% in the thick of things of getting. But I think that this weekend, there's a shot. I really do think there's a shot.
So let me give you my opinion on this, and you can tell me if I'm right or wrong. And I'm obviously coming from the Georgia side of things. You know, it's a little frustrating for me to think that Georgia, who, you know, has won just about every head-to-head recruiting battle it's seemingly been a part of over the last couple of years, you certainly don't have much to beef with if you're a Georgia fan in terms of, you know, Georgia's head-to-head recruiting wins. But if you're going to get Pickens on campus this weekend, and if you can point to the fact that Georgia, by receiving yards, is losing its top three pass catchers from this past season, there's a huge opportunity to step in and play right away. Georgia expects to be a national championship contender. You can point to numerous opportunities on the field where safeties are creeping up to stop the run, which opens up a lot of you know single coverage for a guy like Pickens to exploit. Benjamin, I got to tell you, you know, if Georgia, you know, can't sway Pickens at least somewhat on this official visit, I told this to Jeff Sintel yesterday, that feels to me like Georgia's really taking an L here. This feels like the kind of case that Georgia ought to be able to build for itself, and so I think from a fan standpoint, it'd be a little disappointing to think it couldn't do that.
Well, and I think that that's sort of an interesting reason why, you know, I see Auburn obviously as the team to beat here, but why Georgia, I think, has sort of emerged in this battle. Because one thing George has always said to me during his recruitment is, you know, he looks at a lot of these schools that are recruiting him, and some of them have elite NFL wide receivers or wide receivers that you point to and say, oh, you know, when you look at LSU, you think of Odell Beckham Jr. When you look at Alabama, you think of Julio Jones. And one thing that's always stood out to him about Auburn is when you look at Auburn, they don't necessarily have that one go-to guy that you think of that has had, you know, an illustrious college career, an illustrious NFL career, and is sort of the face of the wide receiver room for that university. And I don't want to sit here and say that Georgia doesn't have that, because Georgia's obviously got plenty of guys in the league right now that are very productive players, but I would say that Georgia doesn't necessarily have that face, that wide receiver face in the NFL. Obviously, AJ Green, and then the past, but I'm talking more, you know, recent years, ones that these younger recruits are, you know, the types of guys that they're thinking, that they think about more often. I think that maybe gives Georgia a shot, especially when you're looking at the last couple of cycles. I mean, I know Sintel and I were talking recently about how signing Blaylock and the fact that they were close on Hazelwood, Georgia hasn't had a ton of success recruiting top five wide receivers the last, you know, really since A.J. Green. And so I think that there's some of that with Georgia and George Pickens, him looking at Georgia and saying they've had some good receivers, but I think that they need that faith wide receiver. And I think that Auburn certainly, you know, he can say that about Auburn, and that's a big reason why he has stayed as true to Auburn and what interested him about Auburn to begin with. But I think Georgia can have some of that pull this weekend, and you talk specifically about, you know, losing Mecole Hardman, losing Riley Ridley, losing Isaac Nauta, and Jake Fromm is going to be looking for guys to throw the ball to. I think that absolutely that is going to interest George Pickens. And, you know, knowing George, he's the type of guy who's going to want to be on the field early. I find it hard to believe that George wouldn't be on the field early regardless of where he chose. I mean, I truly think that this guy's that good, that, you know, he could pick any school in the country regardless of wide receiver depth chart, and he would find a spot on the field as a true freshman. But I think that Georgia will be able to sell that, you know, maybe a little bit better than Auburn will, just because a lot of the guys, now granted, Darius Slayton just went to the NFL draft at Auburn, and he's probably, you know, George Pickens will probably fit sort of into his role in the Auburn offense. But Georgia has that case as well. I don't necessarily know if it will be enough of a case to push it over Auburn, but it certainly will be a case.
So while I've got you on the phone, let me talk to you about a couple of other things going on there around the Plains. What's the vibe there right now? It wasn't that long ago. There was great reporting from your website and others about, you know, some handcuffs. I mean, this figuratively being put on Gus Malzahn in terms of his ability to kind of, you know, manage the staff the way that he wanted to manage it. You know, there was even some thought they were trying to push him out the door. That seems to have cooled off, I guess, a little bit. Marlon Davidson and Derek Brown stay in school. I'm sure that helps the mood of Auburn fans a bit. Has the stuff calmed down at Auburn, or is this still kind of a powder keg for Malzahn moving into 2019?
I think the angst outside the program is still there, and it will, and it's not going to go away until one of two things happen, and that's either Gus Malzahn surprise everyone with a 10 or 11 win season, maybe even he needs to do better than that, or two, Gus Malzahn is gone. I think within the program, I mean, there's no denying that the two or so weeks after the Iron Bowl was not good. It was not easy. I mean, Gus Malzahn admitted as much, you know, talking about recruiting and trying to convince some of these families, George Pickens and his family being one of the most, you know, important, I would say, just convincing these people who had been committed for so long that, yes, it sounds bad on the outside right now, and maybe things aren't operating as efficiently as they need to be on the inside, but that things are going to work out. Now, obviously, that clearly remains to be seen, but I do think that there have been some positives that have happened since then. I mean, them signing 16 of their 17 early signees, or commitments, you know, in the early signing period, when three or four of them were really considering not signing during the early signing period to get those guys inked up, I think was a big thing. And then, like you mentioned, getting Marlon Davidson, Derek Brown coming back for their senior season. And then this past weekend, I mean, they hosted five official visitors, and I would guess probably three of them will probably end up signing with Auburn in February. And so they've managed, and I'm really surprised. This is probably the most surprising thing Gus Malzahn's done since I've been covering Auburn. You know, I guess maybe except disregarding the back-to-back wins against number one teams. I just am stunned that he was able to sort of salvage this, because Auburn's program was not in a good place following that Iron Bowl. And some of the things that were happening behind the scenes and maybe sort of undermining what Gus Malzahn was trying to do, trying to remove Gus Malzahn even as head coach, I think that those things were certainly working against Auburn. And the fact that they were able to get the guys signed, that they were able to get signed and at least, you know, get some of these guys to return for their senior seasons, I didn't see it coming. It surprised me what Auburn was able to do. Now, ultimately, with this Auburn fan base and how irritable they have been with Gus Malzahn, it's going to come down to whether or not they just put on a better performance than they have the last few seasons. I mean, 9-3 is not going to cut it. If it's 10-2 with losses to Alabama and Georgia, I don't even know if that's going to cut it. And so really it comes down to what does Auburn do in the 2019 season. But the fact that they have sort of gotten to this point and, Gus Malzahn has dodged some of these bullets and managed to sort of salvage a good bit of it, I'd say that I would give him a pretty good grade on that, just knowing how bad it was in those weeks after the Iron Bowl.
Well, Ben, we certainly appreciate your coverage. I think you give us great insight when you come on the program. And for people who want to find out more about, you know, the situation with George Pickens or anybody else, how can people find you online, and where should they go to get themselves some more Ben Wolk?
Yeah, well, you can follow me on Twitter at Benjamin Wolk, WOLK, and then, you know, I don't know how many people are going to want to read AuburnRivals.com, but AuburnSports.com, they can head over to that. I will say, I do think Centel's spot on about the Robbie Ashford thing with George Pickens. One thing that's really kept George Pickens committed to Auburn, I'm not trying to, you know, take over your show here.
Please, but with
George, his relationship with Bo Nix, who's committed to Auburn, signed with Auburn, they're really close. I mean, the two of them go back to 7-on-7. They both live in the Birmingham area. They spend a lot of time with one another, even though they don't go to the same high school. And George has said adamantly, I want to go somewhere where I'm comfortable with the quarterback. And I really think at this point, the only other quarterback that he's going to have a relationship with that he feels more comfortable choosing over Bo Nix will be Robbie Ashford. And I know you were talking about this before I came on, and I know Centel was talking about it earlier in the week, but if Georgia can somehow sort of work things out with Robbie Ashford, I know he doesn't want to decide until March, but if George could maybe get some reassurances that Robbie would end up at Georgia before February, I think that would probably end up being Georgia's best sales pitch.
So along those lines, and I hate to ask a negative question from the perspective of Georgia here, but it does come to mind that, okay, so if Robbie Ashford would mean good things with George Pickens, if Georgia leaves the visit with Pickens this week, having not made up ground, does that also mean bad news for Robbie Ashford too, come March then?
I don't actually see it that way. I mean, I think Robbie really will be going about his decision separately. I think that if Georgia were to get George, that would probably help Georgia's case. I don't necessarily know if Auburn getting George would help Auburn's case, per se. I mean, Robbie's a guy who wants to play baseball and football at the next level,
Yeah. And
so I think that he's looking at the baseball programs at both, and I mean, both schools have pretty good baseball programs, so I don't think that'll necessarily be the deciding factor. But I think that he's just sort of going to go about his business separately, though I do think that if he were to end up at Georgia, that would give George something to think about. I just don't know if Robbie will end up making that decision in time for George.
Ben, that is really good stuff. Thank you so much for sharing that, and I hope to have you back on the program again very soon.
Yeah, absolutely, Brandon.
Really good stuff there from Benjamin Wolk, covering the Auburn recruiting beat for a long time, including now at Rivals.com, and a good friend of us here at Dog Nation Daily as well. There are two points that Ben brought up that I want to make sure I mention. Actually, there's one point that Ben brought up and one point that comes up in the comment section. I want to make sure I handle this before we move on. A lot of people in our comment section watching live on video are talking about, some of the issues with Pickens beyond just the football field that maybe make his recruitment a little bit more complicated. The fact of the matter is that's not my news to break. That's not my story to discuss. There's obviously all kinds of message board stuff in terms of what would make the Pickens recruitment a little more complicated than just how good of a fit he is as a football player. But as I said, that's somebody else's news to break. That's Pickens' own news to break. And in some respects, I sort of respect privacy when it comes to some of that kind of stuff. And then, as Ben also mentions, when it comes to A.J. Green, it's kind of funny. That is a receiver from Georgia who's in the NFL, and you think if you're Georgia, you got to be able to build on that. You got to be able to use that. But as it stands now, Green's time at UGA after having a great NFL career starts to feel a little longer away. And the Jaden Hazelwood recruitment, Green was almost an asset for Rick at Miami more so than he was for the alma mater there at Georgia. So I would definitely think when it comes to building a recruiting brand, Georgia's done that with a lot of positions. I think it's still got some work to do with the wide receiver position. And maybe Dominic Blaylock here in 2019, Demetrius Roberts and others can help change that reputation for the better as Georgia becomes a program that produces top flight receivers as well as every other position group.
Let's take a look around the rest of the league. This is SEC Through.
All right, really fun stuff from Benjamin Wolk, and I joked about this, but in a roundabout way, it really is true. I'm going to keep asking about a guy like Pickens until somebody gives me the answer I want to hear, so maybe over the course of time, this will evolve a little bit. As it stands right now, though, I got two guys that I really like kind of telling me the same thing of some more stuff has got to happen for Georgia to be able to do this, but if you get him on campus, and that's what Georgia's trying to do this week, if you get him on campus, who knows what happens after that? And after that, we shall wait and see. All right. There's some really interesting stuff happening around the SEC and sometimes outside the SEC that impacts the SEC. I want to get to all of that as a part of our SEC through here in a moment. And by the way, speaking of receivers, I know we've talked about that a lot over the last couple of days. I do think Dominic Blaylock can play a huge role in this. I think that Blaylock can be the guy that all of a sudden makes Georgia known for receivers the way that it's known for, as it stands now, virtually every other position group. Incredible depth on, virtually all the, levels of defense. Obviously, running back, offensive lineman, quarterback has been incredible for Georgia. The guy that can change receivers and make that position group seem just as deep and impressive could be Blaylock, and Blaylock has said some very interesting things over the last couple of days. We'll let you hear some of that coming up as a part of Dog Nation Daily. But before any of that, we got big football games this weekend, and it's always kind of a sad weekend for me because as much as the big game, as they like to call it in February, the Super Bowl is the sort of crown jewel of the sport, it's also just one game. This is our final weekend with multiple football games, so I'm excited about both conference championship games, and if you want to be excited about them as well, the way to get involved with that is with my friends at MyBookie. And when you do, don't forget your first deposit can be matched up to 50%. That's a big deal. You put money in, and they take 50% of that, and they bonus you on top of that. So you're already a winner before you even get your first bet down. And there's some opportunities to really have some fun with these conference championship games this week. And in fact, I'm going to show you my picks on these in a moment, which I'm sure you can do better than me. But nonetheless, check out MyBookie. Just type MyBookie into your browser, MyBookie, and the internet will do the work for you. And then when you find the website, use the promo code DogNation. Use the promo code. Your first deposit is going to be matched up to 50%. Then you play, you win, you get paid after that. It is as simple as that with MyBookie. Find them online. Use the promo code DogNation. With that said, let's do our MyBookie best bets with picks for both the NFC and AFC championship game here. And y'all know, I think last week I had another kind of bad week with making picks. This week I'm going to try to do the best that I can. I don't have strong feelings about either of these games, but I got opinions like everybody else. I think my thing here is going to be the underdog and the under in both these games. Now, to explain quickly for those of you that don't follow the gambling market closely, the over-under is the expected total number of points for a game. You can bet that the final score will total be more than that or less than that. That's how you derive the over-under. For the AFC game in Kansas City, expected to be really cold. Over-under is 56, pretty high number. 57, even higher number inside for New Orleans and L.A. To give you an idea of how high the New England-Kansas City number is, that's outdoors in the cold in comparison to indoors in the dome, and yet the numbers are both the same. I think both these games go below that. I think the Saints looked nervous last week. As a favorite, they seem to be uncomfortable. Give me the Rams, keeping that one closer than the 3.5. I'll take New England on the road because they've been in a million playoff games. So give me both underdogs, Pats and Rams. Give me both unders, 56 for the AFC game, 57 for the NFC game. And that is going to be my collection of my bookie best bets for the weekend. Now, with that said, let's talk about the SEC here as a part of our SEC through for a moment. A couple stories I want to get to. Jalen Hurts, the former Alabama quarterback, is on his way to Oklahoma. Now, listen. I don't take any great pleasure in saying this. It's just a fact. I got to tell you the way that I believe. I think this is terrible news for Jaden Hazelwood. I don't want to see Hazelwood have a disappointing freshman season. I got no beef with Hazelwood, but he went to Oklahoma to catch the football, and Oklahoma's starting quarterback, in all likelihood, at least at the beginning of the season, is going to be a guy that can't really throw the football. Now, I know Hurts did well against Georgia in the SEC championship game. That's all fine and well. That's a limited window. A lot of that was running. We know Hurts is a good running quarterback. But this is not a terrific guy when it comes to delivering the football through the air. That's what Hazelwood went to Oklahoma for, and frankly, I think he is going to be massively disappointed in his freshman season. In fact, I don't think that Jalen Hurts survives the year as the Oklahoma starting quarterback. I think he gets replaced before the year is done. I think that Hazelwood shows some frustration the same way that Alabama receivers showed frustration back in 2017 when Hurts was the starting quarterback there. I think this is going to blow up in the face of Lincoln Riley, and it seems like a no-brainer that obviously you take the former SEC Player of the Year, but there was a reason why he was benched in the first place, and Jaden Hazelwood's about to find out why. And you know what? It would not surprise me at all to see a guy like Dominic Blaylock have more yards, more touchdowns playing at Georgia next year for a competent and capable quarterback like Jake Fromm as opposed to Jalen Hurts at Alabama, and that could be a story worth watching. Speaking of quarterback transfers, Oklahoma has released Austin Kendall to go to West Virginia. I don't know if that means that he necessarily goes to West Virginia. I'm assuming he would. If he does, that's actually probably good news for Georgia because that keeps him from going to Auburn. I think a guy that used to be at Oklahoma in a place like Auburn, it's a potentially a dangerous matchup in terms of the SEC West and a team like Georgia that has to play the Tigers. So follow that story a little bit. Kendall going to West Virginia, if that becomes official and final, is actually probably a bullet dodged for Georgia because that's Auburn not getting a transfer quarterback that could have changed the fortunes of Gus Malzahn's season. One more SEC story I want to get to. It looks like Butch Jones is going to stay at Alabama. He had a chance to go with Mike Locksley to Maryland as a tight ends coach there, I believe. It looks like Jones is going to stay at Alabama. The role is not yet specified. I'm assuming it'll probably also be a similar job as tight ends coach, something like that in Tuscaloosa. One way or another, though, this is the kind of thing that some people are going to mock and make fun of. I actually think it's probably a pretty good deal for Alabama to hold on to a guy like this. We talked about the Alabama situation. situation off the top of the show. Right now, it seems like Saban's leaning more in the direction of, he certainly looks to like he may go more in the direction of experience on field style coaches. Jones is a pretty good recruiter, too. You don't take a backseat with him as a recruiter, as an assistant coach, but clearly experience and comfort in terms of a coaching role is important to Saban right now. Jones, another one of these guys, like Sarkisian, if he becomes official, that's a former head coach, former experience there in that regard. And I actually think, as much as the Lapoy thing, the way that handled, sort of makes Saban not look great, being able to hire a guy like Butch Jones, the tight ends coach, a former SEC coach that had some success, at least, you know, some level of success, even if it wasn't as much as Tennessee fans would have liked, it's actually probably a pretty good get for Alabama if that does indeed go down. We'll make that your SEC through. And we have talked a lot about receivers in the program, so I thought it was probably important here on Dog Nation Daily to also reflect a little bit, as it stands right now, on the guy that Georgia's going to pin its hopes on in terms of having a big impact freshman wide receiver in 2019. That is Dominic Blaylock. And, you know, we talked about Blaylock yesterday on Before the Hedges. He came up on yesterday's show, too, here on Dog Nation Daily. I said at the time that I thought that you could make a case that Blaylock is maybe the most important signee for Georgia thus far in 2019. And when it comes to blossoming into that role and being comfortable in that, you certainly see some evidence from Blaylock in that regard. He showed out in a big way in the All-American Bowl in San Antonio, caught two touchdowns, threw for another. Jeff Sintel, after the game, had a chance to talk to Blaylock about, you know, being in such a starring role there in that game. And obviously, as you might imagine, Blaylock was really enjoying it. Here's what he had to say.
You know, it was a great experience. You know, the first time, the first touchdown, I was very hyped. And then the second one came, I threw the ball to the sailors up there, and it was a fun experience.
A fun experience for him to do it, a fun experience for Georgia fans to watch it. And when you do watch that, it's easy to kind of daydream a bit about what that might look like in a Georgia uniform next season. The good news here is, although Blaylock is kind of a humble guy and in some respects kind of a soft-spoken guy, he's certainly not a me-first type of football player. That does not mean that Blaylock isn't very committed to making a big impact. I love the bold, I don't want to say prediction he makes for himself, but in terms of lofty goals, Blaylock for his freshman season has certainly got some of those. Here's what he told Jeff Sintel about that.
When you get to Georgia, you're going to have an opportunity to play. How are you going to go about your business? What will be your mindset going in?
You know, just always work hard on and off the field, and just ball out and hopefully I get a starting position.
Just ball out and hopefully I get a starting position. That is what you love to hear, because it's sort of that, you know, like big expectation for himself without kind of veering the direction of, as one star recruit said this recruiting cycle, that he expects to win the Heisman Trophy in his freshman season. You know, that kind of veers in the direction of, I don't know, that may be a little too much. You may be, you know, a little delusional if that's what you think is going to happen in your first year out of the block. But for for Dominic Blaylock to be able to say, hey, listen, you know, I'm locked in here. I want to come in and be a starter. I want to come in and ball out. I'm going to work hard to get that done. I think that's the attitude that makes a lot of Georgia fans feel pretty good right there. And it's one of the reasons why, as we continue to have these conversations, but the freshman on the Georgia roster that could make impacts, it's one of the reasons why a lot of Georgia fans keep mentioning Blaylock's name. They love his attitude off the field, and they love the way that attitude seems to impact his play on the field, too. All right, we'll get ready to wrap up on today's program. And on we will do a couple things here, first of all. You know, we do it every day. We're big believers that good Georgia fans are supposed to be Gator haters. Well, it's been good news for Gator haters over the last 810 days. That's how long it's been since those lousy, stinking Gators have beaten the Georgia Bulldogs. That's a nice thing to be able to say. I love watching that number go up in the months ahead. And frankly, I think for the years to come, 810 days. That's our Gator Hater Updater here for today. A couple other things to mention. Matthew Downing, the third-string quarterback last year from Georgia, would have probably been a lot lower than that on the depth chart were he to have stayed at UGA. He is heading to TCU. You here. I think there may be a family connection there in Fort Worth with that, but that's a program that's produced good quarterbacks, so best of luck to Downing in his future. That's a good young man there. And by the way, did you see Tennessee's number one in basketball now? Maybe one day that can be where Georgia is. We'll have to wait and see, I guess, and we'll see you tomorrow here on Dog Nation Daily.